It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation. We're in the first chapter, and we're just finishing it up. We're going to read with verse 19, and then we're going to get into the second chapter today as well. And so please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. And so while you're doing that, I would like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Or if you would like to write to us, please write to us, Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Once again, Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, "Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." Now, chapter 2, verse 1. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God." What a wonderful verses of Scripture to read today. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come together, enjoy this time. Wonderful opportunity to open your precious word. Please guide and lead us now. Those that do not know you as their Savior, they have not come to the cross of Calvary. Dear Father, we know that Jesus died on Calvary. Your Son, your only begotten Son, came to this earth, lived 33 years, and then was crucified. He died upon the cross. He gave up the Spirit. He gave up the Ghost because it was His choice to follow your will and to give his life that I might live. He died for all. But unless we receive the gift of salvation, the whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is not a chosen few. It is not just those that just for all. It's not a universal salvation. It is a salvation for all if you will call upon Him, and only if you call upon Him. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Believe in thine heart, in the mind, trust in Him, please. Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come when you trust in Jesus. Holy Spirit will come to live within your heart. Please do that today. Please listen to this time, because as we begin the study of the churches, wonderful study. I don't know if you've ever studied it before. If you have not, you're in for a tremendous blessing. Even if you have, I have studied this many times, and it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing, Father, that we have. And so please guide and lead everybody through these words today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've looked at these verses of Scripture. We have in the 18th verse, "I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." And have the keys of hell and death. As we look at this, we need to understand that the one that holds the keys to hell and death, his sentence. And when you choose not to come by faith to Jesus Christ, it's a personal relationship. You need to trust in Him. I'm not talking about a church. I'm not talking about a religion. I am talking about the church, the universal church, all those that have come by faith. And you're going to have from many walks of life, many different denominations, folks will be saved. Sometimes they'll be saved because of that church, that denomination. Sometimes they're, despite the denomination, all the false teaching, and yet they still get saved because the Word of God is powerful. And if you will trust in Jesus today and be saved, it will be a wonderful, wonderful day. If you choose not to, it's different than we have today in our court system. Because in our court system, when someone is sentenced to die, number one, it takes many years before that takes place. But there is appeal over appeal over appeal. And finally, the last one comes through and you're sentenced to death if the appeals don't work. But in the case with our God, there is no appeal. The sentence is death and hell. And that's what you're going to have. And so please that you trust in the Lord Jesus. Now, we stopped off last time, and we're going to go back to the chat to Luke chapter 16. Now, you may be very familiar with this scripture verse, and you might not be. So I ask that you will go there with me, and we're going to read it, several verses, Luke chapter 16. Verse 19, hope you're familiar with your Bible so that you can find the books and the chapters and the verses as we look at them. If you're not, why, take time to work on that. You know, learn the books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and just keep it going and learn them. And then begin to do searches of the chapters and verses so that you can find them and find them quickly. In your study. Hope you've got a good King James Scofield Study Bible. You can't do any better than that, and so you need to find one of those and purchase it and have it in your possession. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. He was buried in hell, verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That's quite a scripture verse. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. We're going to take just a few minutes because there is a lot here to look at. There's a place of torment, and it refers to it here in the term hell or Hades. Hades means the unseen world. It is believed, and I believe that this place is in the center of the earth. You said, oh, that can't be. Well, it's if you question the location of it, I guess it's up to you. But I believe that it is in the center of the earth. And there is a great gulf fixed between two places. One, on the one side, is the place of torment. That's where the rich man went. And the other side is called Abraham's bosom, or paradise. On the other side, both the term Hades means center of the earth, the unseen world. And this is a place where all that have died before Jesus went to the cross. And see, Jesus is speaking here. He is teaching here. And this is not just a story. This is something that actually happened. This happened. I want you to know that. I don't think for a second that this is just a story that was made up to make a point. No, because it uses names, specific names, Abraham. And it said, Father Abraham. Now, there's a couple of things we need to learn about this rich man before we go any further. The rich man was rich, very rich, clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. That was the rich man. Something else we know about the rich man, and that is he was a Jew. He was a Jew because he says, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. You see, those that went to the place of torment can see over to the place of paradise across this great gulf fix. Some people say there are three sections. We have the place of torment where the rich man went because he did not choose Jesus. He decided to live his own wild life as he wanted to. Then we have the great gulf fix. They call that a place. And then we have the Abraham's bosom, or the place of paradise, as we could refer to it, on the other side. Now, that's the rich man, so we know he was a Jew. We know he had a family. He had brothers. I think it speaks of five. And so we have quite a family there. Now, let's look at the Lazarus, the beggar. His name was Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores. You see, when you don't eat right and nothing is correct, and Lazarus received none of the blessings that this rich man received. And he ended up at the gate or the door or at the table of this rich man, and he would just literally fight for the crumbs. And these sores, these open sores, the only thing that he had to with them is that the dogs licked those sores. And so we find that Lazarus, and you think, well, if he was a Christian, if he was a born-again believer, he believed in the Messiah, why did he have such an awful life? This life, in relationship to eternity, is as a vapor. Now, the next time you see a vapor, you come out of the little coffee pot or teapot or something, and you see that vapor, it is gone instantly. And that's exactly the relationship, the time relationship with this life versus eternity. So just because Lazarus didn't get or receive all the good that this rich man did in this life, all the blessings and and everything that he received in the life to come, we need to look at that. We need to consider that with our lives, that the life to come is much more important than this life. Now, the rich man, he had everything. Lazarus had nothing. And he would be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. He didn't feed him the leftovers. It was just the crumbs that fell. That's all he had. Now, it came to pass that the beggar died, verse 22, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Two different examples here. At death, the angels came and carried Lazarus home, carried to the place of paradise. The reference of the rich man is, he died, he was buried. That's all. The rich man's soul went to the place of torment. Lazarus' soul went into the place of paradise. And in hell, You say, well, there's no hell. Well, look at that. There is a hell, and this is real. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus his bosom. See, he knew Lazarus. He knew him. He didn't care for him. He didn't meet any of his needs, but he cared for him. Or he knew him. And so he cried unto Abraham. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I am tormented in this flame. We're not sure when the rich man and Lazarus arrived there. But Abraham has been in this place of paradise for 1900 years. 1900 years, awaiting the crucifixion of Jesus so he could go from the place of paradise home to heaven to be with the Lord. But the rich man, he looked over, he saw Lazarus, he saw Abraham. He says, Abraham, please, just have Lazarus just dip his fingers and just touch my tongue, please, please. I'm burning up. These flames, it's tormenting, and I just... and. How long, my friend, will this torment go on? It will go on forever and ever and ever. If this rich man and this Lazarus arrived in the place of torment in Abraham's bosom or paradise about the same time that Abraham got there, if he did, then that would be 1900 years to this time. Now, that's been 2,000 years ago, so for 3,900 years... that rich man is still in torment. Now, Lazarus and Abraham, when Jesus died and rose again, he went down and emptied out paradise and took them home. Scripture's very clear about that. I love that verse of Scripture. Took them home to heaven. See, they couldn't go to heaven until Jesus is the firstborn for the resurrection. And so he is the first of the resurrection. And no one else could go to heaven until Jesus finished the work that he set out to do. And so they had to wait in this place of paradise, and that's where they were at this time. We're not told the time element with the rich man nor with Lazarus, but we are with Abraham. We know when he died, and we know when this Jesus is speaking this right here. And so right now to that time, why it's been 1900 years. In torment. Just dip your fingers. That's all I want. I don't want a glass of water. I just want you to dip your fingers. That's how much torment that he had. But Abraham said, son, once again, we know that this rich man was a Jew, but he did not believe and follow the word of God for whatever reason. You see, he had everything, he thought, and in reality, he had nothing. Lazarus had nothing, the rich man thought, and probably Lazarus did too. But now he has everything. Lazarus has everything. But Abraham said, son, this is verse 25, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, you can't cross one side or the other. Can't go either way. Then said he, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Don't you think for a minute that that isn't real. If you don't know Jesus and you've chosen not to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you've listened to these programs for years now, and you just continue to reject Jesus Christ, there's a place of hell, of hellfire, and that's where you're going. These preachers and funerals that you go to, and oh, they're in a better place. You're standing over the bed of a loved one that you've watched die. And the first thing that somebody comes in, they put their arm around you and says, oh, they're in a better place. If they knew Jesus, yes, they are. If they did not know Jesus, they joined this rich man in that place of torment. That's where he went. Don't let the preacher lie to you. Don't let a friend lie to you. Because it is real. It is real. Now let's see what happens here. I have five brethren. Will you please send him that he can testify to keep them out of here? You see, all of a sudden, for the first time, that rich man's concerned about somebody besides himself. I don't want anybody to come down here. I don't want anybody to go there. That's the reason we've got these radio programs. That's the reason I preach it from the pulpit, the Bible studies we have, the Sunday school classes. Everything is set upon bringing people to Jesus and growing them so that they can go out and bring other people to Jesus. This nation of ours has gotten so far away from God that it denies God in almost every way. Christianity is to be not spoken of today. Well, you want the curse of God, then you just allow that to continue. Because it needs to come to an end, and Jesus needs to be lifted up, and the God that is Jehovah God, the only true God, there's only one. You know, you hear all the combinations that, well, this is the liberals, the liberal preachers, they say, you know, that we're all going to the same place, just different directions, just different ways. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. You either trust in Jesus or you're not going to get there. It's that simple. I got the Word of God in my hand, and that's my authority. I hope you know Jesus, and I hope you walk after Jesus. But if you don't, this place of torment will be yours. Only to see the final judgment 1,007 years from now or more, but at least that, then you will be taken up, stand before the Lord Jesus, and he will put you into the lake of fire, which is worse than torment, for eternity. It's real. It's real. I can't tell you enough times. So this rich man, he decides all of a sudden he's got a heart. He wants somebody, go tell my brother, please. You see, that man's a believer now. He's a believer. He's in a place of torment. He's a believer. What did I just say, that there is no appeal to the sentence? Once you die, it's it. Once you reject Jesus, that's it. And this rich man knows that. He just wants a little water. He knows he can't get out of hell because he knows that the judge, Jesus is a judge, and this is where he's going. That's it. He doesn't say, get me out of here. He doesn't say that because he knows he can't. And he knows that the true God. But it's too late. Is that going to be your case? Too late? Abraham said, they had Moses. They had the prophets. Let them hear them. And the rich man said, oh, no, you know, I know we didn't listen. I know we didn't pay any attention. But if you would just send Lazarus and a man raised from the dead, they'll listen to him. But Jesus said, no. You know, Abraham said, no. He said, no, they won't. They won't. And it's the same situation with you. If you've refused Jesus today, if you've went another way, if you think there's other ways, you're going to work your way there, or whatever it might be, or you've joined a certain church and they don't believe in faith, by faith in Jesus Christ and it alone. I'm not talking baptism, nothing. Jesus and Jesus alone. Call upon him. He died on the cross for you to save you. Please, that you come to him, because there is no other way. The rich man said, they'll repent. If a dead man come and would be raised from the dead, then they'll come. And no, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And that's 31. Now, we've taken almost all this program to go through that. But the reason is that I want you to see the sentence has no appeal. This rich man is in that place. No one will plead your case. You are there. You're condemned. You are lost. You are literally alive, conscious. Your memory, and I believe that your memory is going to be a lot of the torment. Because how many times today, this very day, have I said to you, come by faith to Jesus Christ and trust in him? If you refuse to do that and you die and end up in this place of torment with this rich man, you say, well, there's going to be a lot of my friends there. No, you won't know them either. Because you see, the place of torment we're not told a lot about other than what was read here in this chapter, 16th chapter, Luke. But the place, the lake of fire, is total darkness. The flames never cease. Your memory. You never die. You die a physical death, but that body is raised up and you're placed in this lake of fire. And you are there forever, that constant pain and torment. You thought you were in pain today, and again, you're in a hospital room, and someone that you love just died, and they went through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And so you make the statement, like so many do, they're in a better place now. If they didn't trust in Jesus here, they are not in a better place. That was nothing. Whatever pain they had to face here was nothing compared with what they're going to face for eternity. And I believe your memory is part of that. And you're going to remember every time you heard me or anyone else say, come to Jesus today and be saved. There is no appeal. There is no appeal. Now, we're just barely going to get started. We stopped there last time. I said we were going to read Luke 16, 19 through 31. And so those verses of Scripture took almost the whole time today, but it was worth it. Listen carefully. Now we are told that Jesus tells John, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. With the will of God and the power of God, write, which thou hast seen, things that in the past, today, and the future. And we have that right there. You see, our God is eternal. And then we come to verse 20. And the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, we have been through that back and forth in this study, but just a little bit of review as we close. Seven stars are the seven ministers. Remember, we said the star does not have its own light. Its light comes from the sun, and it's reflective. And that's the way we should be as pastors. We should be reflecting the brightness, the brilliance, the love of Jesus. And so the love of God, that we could show that. And so the seven stars are the seven ministers of the churches. The seven candlesticks are the seven churches. And here comes a right and proper message for all of us. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And so there is a message that's going to go forward. It's going to go to these seven churches. The first church is the church of Ephesus. That's what we read in that verses 1 through verse 7 in chapter 2 today. And we're going to begin with that first church. If you have never studied the seven churches of Revelation, you have really missed a blessing. Again, it's a literal church, a physical church. It is there, and this is exactly what they were doing. But it also, God has picked out these seven churches because they are also seven church ages. And the last and final one is the church of Laodicea. That's the seventh church. And that is the church age we're in right now. And that is the saddest of all the churches. And so please, we're going to begin with Revelation chapter 2 next week. Read once again that church of Ephesus, because that'll take us for at least the program. Not sure that we'll be able to get through all of it even next time we're together. But look back, read those verses of Scripture in Luke, and enjoy those, Luke 16, 19 through 31. I also would like for you to go back to Romans and look to the 10th chapter and read verses 9 through 13 carefully and prayerfully. And please, if you don't know Jesus, ask him today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?